Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
The other big story that we wanted to try and get to the bottom of is, and I saw this yesterday, Germans have been told that they might not have hot water for the whole of winter. There'll be only times where they might not be able to have hot water, which is actually not a joke, given the climate, and that's because of Russian gas. Can the world survive without Russian gas, and particularly Europe? We wanted to get a little bit more information. Professor Elif Selin-Kalik from AfriAids, a research fellow on energy policies. Professor, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. Hello from London. I'm very well. Thank you so much. How's everything? How are you?
So you apparently are having a bit of a heat wave there, aren't you?
It's really, really exhausting. Yes, very too much heat wave.
It's we're kind of used to that in our summer, but it's winter here at the moment. The story of the gas is obviously has become almost central to the Russian war on Ukraine, and it's very, very clearly part of a strategy to do damage to anybody who supports Ukraine. How does this play out?
Well, energy scarcity is the main problem all around the world during the history. Let's go back to First World War. Why did First World War happen? Of course, because of the energy wars. And after First World War, you know, for example, Iraqi government was established by the United Kingdom. And it is like, you know, to control all Middle East energy sources. Now from oil-based economy, oil oligarchs, it is now time to shift from oil-based regimes to the green energy, you know, renewable energy.
Right.
It will not be, yeah, you are right. It will not be happen, of course, in a one night. But when we see, for example, when we see Germany is really, really locomotive and the pioneer country in that regard. When we see Germany and Germany's energy Wende, it's a very big transformative transition, energy transition project. It is a national project. At the beginning of the Ukraine war, energy dependency on Russian oil and gas for Germany was 54. But now, you know, in a 6 months or seven months, now this, you know, renewable energy, it is now almost 35%. We can see that if countries, in case of emergency, if countries want, yes, they can get rid of oligarchs, energy oligarchs. They can get rid of Russian energy, and they can.
So to some extent, what you're saying is that Russia's got a limited amount of power, in terms of time, because it might be valuable to them as a tool and as a weapon right now, but over a relatively short period, through sustainable energy, the countries in Europe should be able to become independent of them in terms of the dependency on their energy.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean that, you know, Russia couldn't be able to find any customer for its energy and gas. Asia, it's a very, very big continent. Russia has the client potential, so it will not harm Russia's oil and gas potential at least 100 years.
Yeah, amazing. So in terms of, I mean, do you think right now, obviously it's summer, there's a different type of a need, but when Europe heads into winter later on in this year, that can become a very vulnerable time or a very scary time for Europe if this problem is not sorted out by then?
Exactly. It will be a really, really difficult time, and the black winter and cold winter is coming, really, and it's knocking the door. Now, in London, I'm based in London, as you know. Now, British government, they launch a scheme to support taxpayers and the energy payers, households, to pay their energy bills.
Right. So, and of course, Russia is well aware of the power that they have. Let's hope that the dependency will be reduced. Professor Elif Selin-Kalik from AFRED talking to us about the dependency on Russian gas.